Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show for May 13th, 2017. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott with Brian. Hi, Brian. How you doing?
Hi, Scott. How are you? I'm doing great.
I'm fine. We just did Film Sack together, you and I.
We dissed you and I and Randy and Brian.
Yeah, but isn't it nice, though, that that was a movie about video games? We did Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and here we are now going to talk about some video games and stuff. That's cool.
It really is. It reminds me of what I used to do on The Final Score, which was I would pick an old school game if it was related to an old school film. We were doing a film sack, and I may have downloaded Mortal Kombat 3 and played it a little bit.
Oh, really?
Just saying.
Really? Did you really? Oh, that's awesome. Who's your character? Who's your go-to there?
What do you I always Liu Kang.
Liu Kang, right. All right.
Is that right?
He does a
bicycle kick.
Yeah, he does that.
Yes, him. I played it online. You can actually play this. I think they had the Nintendo version. Mm-hmm. It was on either Emu Paradise or something like that, and you can play it right in the browser. Mm. So I didn't dedicate too many resources to it.
Don't get too excited. Yeah, you don't need to. I mean, listen. Mortal Kombat, for all of its virtues, once you play one of the old ones, you're like, oh yeah, these aren't very good now.
These are just nice things right here.
They're okay. They're not. They don't have the depth, or never did have the depth that the Street Fighter games have. So when you play a Mortal Kombat game, especially the old ones, I think the new ones are different. The new ones tend to have a little more depth. Certainly 10 and whatever the other new one is.
Right. You always had a feeling of doing something you weren't supposed to be doing.
Yeah, it was the how do you put it? It's like the forbidden fruit there, you know?
Right.
Kids would go to that arcade and say, "See you, Mom. Okay, have fun with your, you know, Mappy or whatever you're gonna play."
I'll be eating some dots and playing Pac-Man.
Yeah.
See you, Mom.
I'll be playing Clax and Star Defenders, Mom. Okay, great. And then you go in there and pull spines out and rip hearts out and stuff. Right?
That's what you did.
Oh, it was a good time. And then, I mean, I wasn't a kid then, but I was in my, you know, 20s, and I used to go in there and play a little Sub-Zero, or say, get over here and throw a thing into your neck and yank you over and uppercut you and stuff. It was good times.
The other thing I remember about that game, it was such a clicker. So you had all your buttons.
Yeah.
And oh man, I mean, one technique was just to push the buttons as fast as you can, and you'd leave that place and your forearms would be like pounding and just rah.
Yeah, it was good. If the current definition of a clicker is like those games where you just whack the screen and you earn money or whatever it is, and then you leave it, and while you're away, all your little minions do the work for you, and you come back in, you've earned 6 billion space points since you were gone or whatever, right?
Right, right.
Now, I would play a Mortal Kombat clicker today where it was just like, Sub-Zero needs to earn enough money to take a trip to see his old pal, Scorpion. Will you help him?
I would play that.
Yeah, I would totally. I'd play the shit out of that.
But you know they would have to try to incorporate those audio files, and so you'd be, finish him, finish him, and it would just...
I like that, though. That'd be all right.
Yeah, it'd be all right for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, you'd get sick of it. You'd get sick of it. All right. Well, hey, before we get going here today, just fill people in on a few things I've been up to. And I want to hear also about your... We keep hearing these little rumors about Brian making a game, and I want to hear more about where you're at.
Yes, yes, yes.
Before that, though, I picked up a game some time ago. It was on sale, or I got a code or something. I don't remember what the deal was. But sometime in the last, I don't know, 6 to 8 months or something, I picked up a game called Cave Blazers on Steam. Cave Blazers, that's right.
It makes me laugh. It reminds me, I just saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and of course, they make huge jokes about one of the characters' names in there, and that's kind of what this makes me think of.
Yeah.
Cave Blazers.
Plus, they blaze a cave in that movie. Woo.
Right.
Pretty good. Woo. Anyway, it's a game for Steam. I don't know if it's headed anywhere else. What's funny is now it's actually gotten kind of personal, because in the last couple of weeks or so, they announced that the Yogg's Cast, where our mutual friend Terpster is a CEO,
right,
he's going to publish the game, which is kind of odd.
But
yeah, I know, it's crazy. But I didn't know this when I first got it. When I first got it, it was kind of a letdown. It wasn't very finished. It was very early access. It was only $10. But what jumped out to me was here's a game that looks like Spelunky. Mm-hmm. And what's that? Not Battle Bros. What's the Bros game where you side-scrolling, 8-bit looking, shoot stuff up thing? It's on PlayStation, PC, and everywhere else. And it's all like fake versions of...
I don't know. How many games could it be with Bros in it? Let's see. Super Mario Bros. Oh, no. Come on.
Super... it's all, and it's like super over the top, like yeah, action movie from the 80s thing.
Bro Force.
That's what I'm thinking of. Sorry. Yeah. Bro Force. Love Bro Force. Except the name, I guess, because I can't remember it. But anyway, it's like Bro Force and Spelunky had a baby, and they made Cave Blazers, and it's great. At the time, though, it was a little disappointing, and I kind of forgot about it. I went, meh, uninstall, play this later, whatever. In fact, I think it was even a computer ago that I got it. Wow. And it's now getting to the point where they're ready to publish this thing, and I saw some news on it and saw the Terpster thing, and I went, oh, I should see how that is now. I should fire that up, and I did, and it's awesome. It's only $10, so if you like that whole randomly generated space, stuff to kill, difficult platforming, skill shot, you know, combat, upgrades, and then come back with more cool unlock permanent stuff because you're, you know, Spelunky style, that plus you just want to blow things to smithereens and see blood fly everywhere. It's great. It's called Cave Blazers, and you get inventory and more RPG elements, and I really, really like it. So I'm gonna recommend it. I mean, it's $10. Get a controller, though. Have a damn controller on your PC for this. All right.
You know, this exactly. And this has been interesting to me in the process you had mentioned earlier about this game that I'm trying to develop. I'm trying to stay very simple. So I picked the 8-bit kind of look and platform, that 240 lines of resolution. Mm. And I've really started looking around and being more aware of these games that are kind of 8-bitish looking, like this Cave Blazers. But and they stay within the look of it. But I'm like, is this where games would have evolved to if we were like at some kind of 8-bit cap? People would just make these great looking 8-bit worlds, but
it's a good question. Dead Cells is like that too. Like there's some really pretty stuff happening in 8-bit, but most of the time you find out it's like Unity or, you know, some
engine. That's the thing. They don't usually limit themselves to the 8-bit memory space. They just limit themselves visually. Mm-hmm. And so of course you have to get beyond that, and then these things probably hog up. They probably make your CPU crank.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think that's probably true. Well, I don't know. This thing seems pretty light. It's maybe 150 megabytes of storage required is all.
Nice.
Which is pretty small in today's standards. But I can't recommend it enough. It's scratching that itch, man. I love me some 2D side scrolling roguelike-y business, and this is definitely that. And you're gonna see it and go, oh, this is a Spelunky ripoff almost. But you play it a bit, you realize it's kind of got its own vibe. So definitely check it out if you are so inclined. Also, I got to tell you this funny experience. So it's Battlegrounds, that Unknown Players Battlegrounds deal that everyone's playing.
Oh, yeah, everybody's wanting me to play that.
Yeah, it's fun. It's been playing it for a couple of weeks. You drop yourself into a little zone there and play the Hunger Games, basically. It's a first-person shooter or third-person shooter behind your character shooter thing. And you run around, you get vehicles, you find old weapons and houses, you hoard all that stuff the best you can. And then this big circle of around the map, it very occasionally starts to contract. So the idea is that of the 100 people that got there, eventually you're down to one. The big winner gets the chicken dinner, right? Literally, there's a chicken dinner in the thing.
No, get out of here.
So the circle's like, you always want to stay within that circle. So the battlefield gets tighter and tighter. So you never feel like you're out lost with nobody to kill. You're always, you know, there's always something to do.
Right.
Anyway, it's really intense, really fun, multiplayer only thing, and I like it a lot. However, there is a part of it I hate. Freaking hate it. And this is it. You start out in an airplane. First, you're in a lobby for about a minute, and then you're in an airplane, and you're in this airplane with 100 other people. And you can hear everyone talking if they have voice on their mics and stuff.
Right.
So here's what I hear on my last trip in there. Okay. So I'm just going to set up a scenario for you. I get into my plane and I hear this. And then I hear this in the background. Come on, man. Shut up, bro. Don't do that. Like, and he goes, I don't care. Blah, 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 blah. I don't care. Blah, 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 blah. And just did this the entire flight over the thing. I couldn't hit F to get out of there fast enough. It's like, get me off this plane. So I'm just putting it out there that they probably need to work on that. You know, I like squad-based VO. I think that's great. And being able to be in proximity and hear each other and that stuff is cool. But not on a plane full of 100 dicks.
That is great. So it's just like real life.
Yeah, gotcha. Just like a real plane, like a real trip on a plane. You get on a United flight, probably.
Right.
And everybody's, you know, going, blah, 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 blah. Sir, could you please sit down and stop doing that? No, blah, 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 blah. Like people
can
just
can I have a half a can of Coke? thank you.
Anyway, it was weird.
It was weird.
And
now
then,
the attraction to this game is the fact that you can play like heroes from different genres. Is that kind of
no? The whole idea, the whole thing here is just the way Battlegrounds works. It's literally, I mean, this player unknown guy who made it,
right?
It's his name, his sort of moniker. He used to be a modder that made that was one of the modders for the original DayZ mod for Arma 2, I guess.
Okay. I've heard this.
So he took off to do his own thing. This is his thing. He's working with some Korean publishers or something, but he's primarily, I think, the head guy on this, maybe the only guy. But this thing's a hugely popular thing. Millions of people are playing it now. And kind of took Steam by storm. The reason is the gameplay loop is really, really simple, very, very smart, and really intense. You get into the plane, you parachute out, you guide your parachute. This is all under your control. You guide your parachute over this huge map and you go, all right, there's a little compound of buildings. I don't think anyone else is there. I'm going to go there and scavenge for guns and ammo and armor. So you go in there and you find a pistol and you find some ammo for it and you load that pistol and you kind of hide in the corner and you can hear people walking if they get close to you and stuff. And your job is to kill anybody you come in contact with and eventually get to the end of that game being the last man standing. It's Hunger Games. Right. It's Battle Royale, basically.
Right.
And it's... That loop is really satisfying. The game's janky as hell. It's got lots of problems. There's some weird inventory stuff I can't stand. A few things like that. But the core, which matters most, the core gameplay is incredibly fun and addicting. And really,
not a bad price point.
$30. Yeah, and you can do a squad mode multiplayer thing where like me, you, and three other guys or whatever can get into a group.
Right.
And go in together. And then... you're awarded as a team if you're the last team standing instead of last individual. That's a really fun way to play because you can coordinate and, you know, strategize and all that stuff and take guys out together and whatever.
Right.
But once you're dead, you're dead. There's no respawning. You're dead.
You're just out of the game?
Yeah, if you're solo in there and it says, guy hit in the head and you're just laying there dead, you'll see your body and you'll see a score screen. It'll say you were number 38 of 100. So you made it all the way till there were only 38 left and you were the 38th person.
And then you can spectate, right?
No, not after that. What? Because then people could like stream snipe. If you're in the other group though, or if you're in the mode that's for squads,
right,
and you and I are in a group, yes, you can spectate, but only from our point of view, not from the other teams ever.
Right.
So that's just a cheaty. They're trying to keep people from cheating.
Yeah, but you know, those kind of games always get killed first, and then I got a lot of waiting to do.
No, you don't have to do any waiting. That's the best part. Let's say you die. Let's say you're the third person to die. Okay, there's still 97 people left. Okay.
Right.
You just immediately hit go requeue, and now you're in a whole new game, and you're there less than a minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You just get out and play. You don't want to play with these same people. You just go out and play again. It's really good. I mean, the hype is real. It's not just, you know, I think it deserves the attention it's getting. And I think that guy's probably expanding at a rapid rate, given the fact that this hit so big on Steam. It's huge.
Right.
Millions of players in the first couple of weeks or something.
Millions.
And it's only, what, $29? Pretty good deal, I think.
Not bad.
Still pretty janky, though. I could use some polish, but we'll get there. And then I got VR made me sick for the first time.
What?
Yeah. Well, I didn't barf, but I felt like I wanted to.
You're impervious to the VR sick.
I thought I was. I got all dizzy and stuff and felt really gross. And it was only after I played this very specific game. So call this either an invitation if you're a nutbag or a warning if you just don't want to feel gross or whatever. But this game called Redout. It's a racing game. It's like remember Wipeout? You know Wipeout?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I loved Wipeout.
Hover cars and tracks and all that. It's kind of a, I wouldn't say a ripoff of that, because technically Wipeout's kind of a ripoff of F-Zero for the Super NES, but it's, you know, it's one of those games, and it's fully 3D and, you know, what you'd expect from a modern game. And you can play it in 2D and it just plays like Wipeout. It's fun, right? Lots of tracks and all that. But you can play it in VR. Too weird.
I'm looking at one of these races, and it looks like it's got the pod racing.
It's a little pod racy for sure.
Yeah,
it's got weird stuff sticking out of the front of some of those ships. So, but it's, you know, it's like it's a hover thing.
Hover. So was it the speed?
Here's two things that were weird. I put the headset on. Unlike every other VR game I have in my library, either VR specific or VR enabled game or experience, when I put the headset on and do the menus and all that, it's right in front of me. There it is. Boom. Where I'm sitting or standing, suddenly the world's out ahead of me. And right. I just go. In that game, it's all behind me. So I have to turn all the way around. Oh, there's the menu on the opposite side. It makes no sense. That's not what made me sick, but it annoyed me. So whatever. I got all tangled up, got turned around the other way. I'm wearing a Vive, so people know what I'm talking about. So I get turned around. I get the thing started. As soon as I take off, the speed, the dips, the jumps, the turns, I immediately start to feel like I'm going to hork it. It's bad. Like, oh my gosh, dude, this is bad. I make a turn. Oh, baby. Like it got worse and worse as I'm zipping around this thing. And I had to quit before I got, I think the second lap I had to quit.
Right.
Or I was going to yak all over myself.
Come on. Just work through it, man.
Couldn't, yeah, I tried.
Get yourself a bucket and hold it to your chest and just.
That's how to do it. Hold it to your chest.
Just do it.
It's good advice. I knew you'd have it. So this is kind of big news. I don't know if you heard about this, but Square Enix is putting the Hitman developer up for sale.
Uh-oh, they're putting the Hitman or putting the hit on the Hitman?
Yeah, IO Interactive is the name of the developer. They're owned by and published by Square Enix. And this is, I mean, mind you, this is on the tails of like a really successful run for that Hitman deal.
Right.
That game sold really well. The way they put it out is, yeah, not DLC, but episodic stuff. Worked.
Episodic,
it really worked. People liked it. Made money. It was one of my favorite games last year. Like straight up, great. It's good stuff in general, and yet they're selling it. Nobody's exactly sure why, but
what?
Square Enix announced that its intentions to divest ownership of IO Interactive. This according to a GameSpot article. The Danish studio behind the Hitman series. In a statement to its investors, the article goes on, the Japanese publisher reported that it described what it described as an extraordinary $42 million loss for the financial year ending March 31st.
Wow.
It says this is a result of the company's decision to narrow its focus on key franchises and studios. I would argue this was a key franchise.
Right.
And this is weird, chopping off their finger when they don't need to kind of thing. Because I don't know. I feel like the future was extremely bright for Hitman. And if they sell the studio, I don't think that means the studio gets to keep the IP. They'd have to do something new.
That's what I'm curious about, because if they hold on to the IP, which is important because they've already had movie franchise stuff come out. They had they had like two movies, right? They had one in 2007, 2015.
Yeah.
And if they got to be keeping the IP. Yeah. I don't understand. Are they totally saying that this is IO's Interactive's fault for the $42 million loss and we're chopping it off?
Well, it says
because that is a huge loss, right?
I agree. They're not blaming this loss on them. Like the $42 million loss for the fiscal year is not the fault of IO Interactive or of Hitman,
right?
Of Agent 47 himself, but the company just in general. So this is their quote: to maximize player satisfaction as well as market potential going forward, we, Square Enix, we are going to focus on resources and energies on key franchises and studios. As a result, the company has regrettably decided to withdraw from the business of IO Interactive, a wholly owned subsidiary and Danish corporation, as of March 31st, 2017. They went on to say this decision has resulted in booking of the extraordinary loss amount of, this sounds like it's been translated, doesn't it?
Right.
Anyway, a loss amount of 4,898 million yen. That's the amount I mentioned earlier in dollars, including disposition of the content production account related to the business and impairment loss of intangible assets. If the financial
like a translation from a
Google a Translate, dude, that's what this is. I think
To maximize player satisfaction as well as marketing. Oh, shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
No, you're... to maximize not losing your any more money.
No kidding.
Is why we're selling these guys.
I feel bad, but that's a great... They're so a great
have you been playing the... Is how many... Have they already released
it's all
one
out.
Or two episodes?
It's all out. The whole thing's out. So it's like... I forget what the total number is. Crap. It's like 5, 6, something like that.
Right.
But it's the whole run is done. It is an amazing combination of content. It's really, really good.
Right.
It was, I think, other studios are going to learn from them and make other take other franchises in a similar direction. It never felt like you were being nickel and dimed.
Right.
It's a quality thing. And you can buy that entire run now for like $29 or something. Totally worth it. It's the
you
best.
Know what else you can, yeah. You know what else you can buy cheap this weekend?
What's
because
that?
Of because they're getting rid of stuff. Alan Wake.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
What's just, the deal? Why like, are they getting rid of Alan Wake? What's the problem with that? Was it just too?
And in just a few more days, they're going to lose the licensing rights to the music in a lot of Alan Wake, and instead of replacing that music, they're just like, "Yeah, we're going to stop selling it. Here it is for $5
okay.
or less."
Well, it's an older game now, you know.
Right.
I remember when Alan Wake was like a early Xbox announcement. 360
right.
And then they took forever to come out, and then when it finally did, it was like I kind of liked it okay, but I got bored, so I quit playing it. I don't know what it was about
it,
that game.
Was it the music?
No, I think it was just that the combat was the same every time I did it.
Right.
It just was like, oh, story, this is cool, and then oh shit, I gotta fight ghost monster things for the next 10 minutes. I don't know. You know how games are. It's like Bioshock Infinite was like this for me. Bioshock Infinite's one of my favorite experiences I've ever had.
Yes.
And I say that word because the game is all right.
Right.
It's just a lot of shooting through. It was basically Doom with a really pretty skin and a great story. And that was a bummer for me. So anyway, long and the short of it is y'all aren't going to be playing Hitman for much longer. Which makes me a little sad, but hey, time will tell. Now, the bummer news for you, Brian, if you're an Xbox or Microsoft fan.
I am.
You're not getting Halo 6 at E3.
I'm not.
Nope, you're not. You can set aside any of those hopes that you may have had to see the next main entry in the Halo series at E3 next month. This is according to developer 343. That's 343 Industries. They say Halo 6 will not be shown. That doesn't mean it isn't in development. In fact, I'd eat my hat if it wasn't being worked on. I mean, shit, it's Halo. There's always a Halo game being made,
Remember, when was it they said, they said no more Halo. They said that a while back, didn't they?
Did they? I can't imagine Microsoft saying that.
I mean, back in 2015 or something, I think they were talking about it. I said, yeah, that's it. We're not doing it anymore.
Oh, weird.
Just kid.
Yeah.
Well, and Will was like, yeah, whatever.
We were joking around. I didn't play. I haven't played 4 or I guess 5.
Right.
Yeah, those two exist. Because I don't have an Xbox One, although I guess, did the 360 have 4? Now I don't remember.
I can't remember that one.
Didn't play any of that. I played ODST. I played 3. I played Halo Wars, the RTS thing.
Right.
I played Halo 1, 2, and...
Is E3 becoming more about what we're not going to talk about than what we are going to talk about? It seems like every year it's always like, we're not going
to
bring anything.
I think that they do this early to get it out of the way so that the stuff they really do want to focus on is the focus and nobody's asking where Halo is. I think that's what they're trying to do. I mean, I expect, you know, Microsoft's... seems to be interested in pushing Scorpio this year. That comes out.
Right.
When's that come out? Fall, I guess.
Yeah, fall this year. I saw some reports earlier this week that were kind of like, people are kind of like, meh, about the, you know, the new PlayStation and the new meh.
Yeah, well, the PlayStation is such a half step. Like, PlayStation Pro is okay. The biggest advantage is 4K content and HDR and stuff like that.
Right.
But it hasn't really done much to improve the games that are coming out or that already exist, and it's just not a meaningful upgrade compared to what a full cycle upgrade would be. And Microsoft's claiming that Scorpio will be that. It'll be a much more robust, more like a brand new console sort of thing. But I'm not so sure. I don't know that market's ready for as much as I like the PC side of things where you're, you know, ooh, new video card this week and I'm getting more RAM next month and, you know, that stuff.
Right.
Doing that in the console world feels weird.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know yet if they're gonna, if this is gonna be the time that happens, but we're definitely in a new era for sure. I mean, Microsoft has a lot to prove at E3, but so does Sony. Sony's gonna have to take their sizable lead and then justify, you know, why a Pro is good enough if the Scorpio really is impressive. I don't know.
Right. I definitely I'm interested in the 4K capabilities that we're looking at, because to match my 4K TV, you know, get the full experience. But that's mostly for movie watching.
Right.
Game wise, not much of impact.
Yeah, plus a lot of those games aren't gonna be 4K anyway. They're gonna be upscaled stuff. I don't even know, I mean, I don't even have a 4K TV yet, so I don't know what I care about yet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm part of me's like, well, I'm technically playing 4K on my PC anyway.
Right.
Maybe I don't care, or maybe that and a Switch in bed is all I need.
Switch in bed.
You know, I like a good Switch in bed.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's good stuff. Anyway, no Microsoft. No Halo first-person shooter released in 2017. Or a new Gears of War, for that matter. They just came out with one. Why would Gears 4 come out and then there'd be a 5? There won't be.
I guess they're just kind of going through the emails. No, we're not going to have that. Yeah, no,
kind of.
Stop asking.
What do you think it will be, though? So here's what I'm thinking. I think Phil Spencer gets up on stage.
Right.
And I think he shows off Crackdown 3.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's going to be a big showcase for Scorpio, as well as just straight up, you know, a game people are excited about.
Right.
Outside of that, though, it's all surprises to me. I have no idea. Probably some third party up there showing off whatever.
Right.
I'm guessing Activision will show World War II, Call of Duty, and the Sony conference, because the lead platform's usually where those guys end up.
I hope they focus on the realistic racism they've talked about.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to some realistic racism in my life.
Right. I hope that is showcased.
You know, if there's not enough of something in 2017, it's a resurgence of interest in racism. So we could use more of that, please. That'd be wonderful. Bring on the racism. So it's as if somebody out there likes me and knows me personally.
Mm.
There's this new MMO that got announced or talked about the other day that it came completely out of nowhere for me. I had no idea it was being worked on. But in a year where I'm expecting great things from Red Dead Redemption 2, and I am.
Yes.
Very much so. Wish that was coming to PC. Maybe it will, but for now it's not.
Yeah, we dreamed and it never happened last time.
Nope, I was so annoyed. Okay, here's what makes me think. You want to know why I think it will?
Yes, please.
First of all, they were wildly successful with GTA 5's PC release.
True.
That continues to sell like crazy and do really well. Every time it goes on any kind of tiny sale, it shoots to the top of the Steam charts. Like, it's just always there, always successful. I've been playing it again. It's great. The mods are great. It's great. However, the problem with previous versions of some of their games, like Red Dead, it was written on a very different platform. You had that weird Sony architecture chip thing. You had Microsoft's PowerPC platform. And it was nothing like a PC conversion.
Is it that old?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. 2010, dude.
That's
7 years ago. So then now you've got Xbox or the Xbox One and its iterations, and all the PlayStation 4 and ups are all based on PC architecture. So for them to develop for the main consoles existing today and port it to a PC should be easy. It's just they're not releasing it day and date. And that's not really their way. They didn't do that with GTA 5 either. They waited, like, I don't know, what did it come out in, 2015 or 14? But the game originally came out in... No, that's what it was. It was 2013 on original consoles, then the next year PS4 and Xbox, and then PC in 2015 it came to PC. And so, you know, I have hope, is what I'm saying. Got a little hope hanging out here, right here in my hand.
I got some hope. Look at my hope.
Hey, guys, I got Bob Hope, little tiny Bob Hope.
Look over here. I got my hope out.
Sir, you're going to have to put that hope away.
Now, I'll tell you, this game, oh my goodness. I mean, Wild West Online looks like Red Dead Redemption. And I don't blame people for thinking that it was it.
Yeah, it's pretty. It looks real good. Yeah.
Looks
and,
just like it.
It says there's an audience for this. This is what they say. Stephen
Bougay.
I don't know how you say it. Bougajay. The creative vice president of the publisher DJ2. They told this to the PC Gamer. There's an audience for this that just wasn't being served on PC. So we want to make this big, open, Wild West world with a bit of a twist that, like the best MMOs, is a place where people can really live in. The game is being developed by this new studio called 612 Games, mm-hmm. whose staff work on stuff like Crysis and League of Legends.
Wow.
It's weird.
Now that is a portfolio.
It says it's a PvP MMO that will apparently go beyond what Red Dead multiplayer had to offer at the time. Well, I would hope so.
Right. What's the twist?
Me driving the wagon off into the river and killing everybody. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Those were good days, dude.
Those were fantastic days.
Yeah, I'd get into those. We'd get in a stagecoach, and you and Nicole and like five other people would say, hey, we'll ride with you. I'm like, yeah, come on, get on. And I would purposely then drive off the tallest cliff into the river right. and drown everybody. It was the best.
And then we'd all meet back up.
There's a law system in this. It works like Red Dead's thing and Grand Theft Auto is kind of, you know, don't upset the law too much sort of deal. NPCs, all that stuff. I just don't want it to be a standard MMO where I got cooldowns. Right. I got to talk to a guy with a question mark over his head. Like, I'm not into that.
Now, they're saying there won't be any NPCs, right? Coming at you. Oh, they won't be chasing you. So not necessarily saying there's no NPCs, just not any.
All I'm saying is I just don't want it to be. I just don't want MMO. I want more Red Dead, less MMO. So if their plan is to break that mold a little bit, that'd be great. But I don't want to start out as you're a level one cowpoke. You have acquired new leather chaps plus one to, you know, integrity or whatever.
Oh, my gosh. All the tedious task of a true cowboy. That would be fantastic. You'd have to round up the chickens. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. Kickstarter campaign for the thing is going to go up later this month. Game's website says a new reveal is coming May 26th. They're asking $250,000. I'm sure want to go well beyond that if they're going to make a game of this scope. Server-wide game mode that plays out once a week. Train robberies. They want to do all kinds of regular event-type stuff. I mean, I'm into this if it's polished.
And that's the problem that we saw with Lead and Gold. Games of the Old West. Remember that game? It was total multiplayer, but you know, you didn't really have a lot of building up and that kind of stuff. But it was multiplayer. Y'all hopped online, but there was nobody ever there. It was like you were in a ghost town.
That game was a bummer, dude.
But it was fun when you had two or three people in there, but there was never two or three people.
There was never anyone playing it. I remember being so bummed that game didn't reach more of its potential. I forgot about that. Lead and Gold. Oh my gosh. The memories. All right. Well, how about this? Did I already play that one?
We're playing it again.
I did, didn't I? I think I'm playing that one twice.
Well, it's an E3 thing, so we're just...
Why not?
That's
why
our
not?
E3 theme.
Well, Nintendo has released their E3 2017 streams and detailed them a little bit. They have plans. They're not going to be there and do a big stage show. They're done with that. Last three or so years, maybe 4 years now? Yeah, 3 years. Mm-hmm. They get up and do video now. It's like a pre-recorded deal. It's usually very delightful, but it's a little less, you know, stagey the way that Sony and Microsoft still do it.
Right.
This will be their Nintendo Direct-like stream, their Treehouse events, and they will have tournaments. There was an image posted on Twitter. It says they plan to kick things off on June 13th at 9 a.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. I don't know what BST is. What's that?
That's Bacon Central Time.
Bacon Central Time.
No, which is BST?
Yeah.
Bacon Standard Time. I'm sorry.
Bullshit terrorist. This is something called a Nintendo Spotlight. According to the brief description, this will showcase Nintendo Switch games for 2017. That includes Super Mario Odyssey, that punching of hands game, although I think that's out before then.
Right.
Is that called ARMS? That'll be out.
Well, let's just face it. Nintendo's not terribly concerned about E3.
No, none of them are.
It's like, here, send this videotape in.
I think it's fine. You know what? I mean, E3, well, whatever. This year's got 15,000 attendees will be public people.
Right.
And that's the first time ever. So there's an opportunity there. But they'll have games, you know, on the floor and stuff. They just aren't doing.
Yeah.
They're just not
presentation.
Doing
presentation.
Yeah. They're not getting Reggie Fils-Aimé up there going, the Wii Fit. Is it?
Right. And I'm totally not Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
It's not me.
Waka Waka. Oh, that's Pac-Man. Let's see. Do I still have that Wii Fit? Oh, I don't know where that line is. I have that old Wii Fit.
He'll never live that down.
Nope. He can't. Do I have it here? Mm-hmm. Damn it. I don't have it.
I won't wear anything.
Okay. That's not it. That's definitely not it.
Sounds just like him to me.
That thing I just played? Not it.
That's...
Anyway, the treehouse stuff will happen. They got people, they sit there in their little treehousey stuff and they do that shit. So that's a thing. You know what I mean?
Giving it the reverence it deserves.
It's not always my favorite. It's not my favorite thing. It's fine. It's they have little guests come by and they sit in the little booth and they play whatever game for a bit and describe the systems. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. So you can watch that on the Twitch channel, Nintendo's Twitch channel, their website, as well as their YouTube gaming stream, if you are so inclined to want to follow any of that. I'm actually really curious about Nintendo in terms of what they'll announce, because up till we kind of know everything through the rest of this year.
Right.
And they haven't announced anything beyond that. So this is a chance for maybe a new Animal Crossing or a new Metroid game or a new something. It doesn't have to all be stuff. It doesn't have to all be sequels, but you know what I mean.
Like, right. What do you think their animality will be?
Their animality. Let's see. Right. It'll be turning into Kirby, who then turns into a Yoshi and then kills everyone. And now they're all dead. That's exactly how that's going to go. All right, folks. Let's take a minute to read an email here. We get these, by the way, at boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. And we got this. Oh, this is nice, so I'm going to read it for you. Scott and Brian. This is from Justin from Arkansas, or as some would say, Arkansas.
Oh.
Scott and Brian, a few years ago, all my my all-time favorite podcast was canceled. You probably heard of it, The Final Score.
Yeah.
Shortly after, The Boop Show appeared, which I liked, but something was missing. After a time, The Boop Show became infrequent, but Scott was a busy man, so I understood. Mm-hmm. I did, however, unsubscribe. So while listening to Current Geek on a wild and a wild Dunaway appeared, when Brian made a comment about plans to see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 after the Boop Show, I did a double take and said, "What?" I immediately went. I don't know if that's the right emotion I just put into that.
Right, right.
It's all caps here. Anyway, I immediately went and resubscribed to the Boop Show. Long story short, I'm back and thank you guys so much, he says in all caps.
No, that feels good.
He says, I missed your gaming banter so freaking much. Frog Panther for life, Justin from Arkansas. P.S. When I hear the score music or the final score music, I actually started to tear up a little and I'm not ashamed. All right. Woo! That's great. The feedback has been phenomenal.
It's great.
It's you, dude. They all wanted you. Oh. They don't need me. F me. I'm the lame one here. They all were waiting for the Dunaway to get back.
It's our dynamic. Yeah. We've been doing podcasts together since 2005.
Yeah, 20-05, man.
Yeah. Peanut butter and jelly. I'd cry, too, if I had to eat peanut butter sandwiches every day with no jelly. And then one day, jelly shows up.
Yeah. And you're like, well, holy shit, jelly's really good. Hey, by the way, speaking of that, you know what's good is a nice white flour tortilla.
Mm-hmm.
With peanut butter and jelly on it, you fold it in half.
All right,
great! It's like a peanut butter and jelly taco, dude.
Ah, I was gonna say, what do you call that?
Let's call it a pajaco.
It's a PB&J enchilada.
It's a pajaco. It's really good. I'm gonna recommend it. Anyway, thanks for your email.
So, when's the wife getting back? Because obviously, she's not there.
She's not.
If you're rolling up tortillas,
you're totally right. She's on a weekend excursion for Mother's Day, and with a friend of hers, and we're literally fending for ourselves.
Right.
I'm still figuring out what I can put pizza on in the house.
Some people are fending better than others. It sounds
like. Makes no sense. Yeah, and probably pizza again tonight. Maybe spaghetti. Right. Maybe burgers. I don't know. We're eating like kings and queens here. Anyway, thanks for your email, boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. You can find us on the web at frogpants.com/boop. All our links are there. It's going to do it for us, for me, and for Brian. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.